2 Samuel 23, and let's begin reading with verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Let me read a companion text in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, beginning with verse 10. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Jashobeam, the Hachmonite, and Hachmonite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdamim, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled before the Philistines. And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. And I want to preach to you about Eleazar tonight. And I want to speak to you on this subject: marks of the mighty. Marks of the mighty. Would you put your Bibles down, close your eyes, lift your hands, give praise to God, and let's ask him to have his way in the remainder of our service. Would you do that right now? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, anoint me to proclaim your word. Anoint everybody to receive it. Have your way for good in the next little while in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, anoint me to proclaim the word. Anoint everybody to receive it. Have your way for good in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord before you're seated? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. God's worthy of our praise, isn't he? Amen. God bless you. Be seated in Jesus' name. Some 3,000 years ago, in the land of Palestine, the Israeli people were gathered in a barley field, garnering in their harvest, when, according to the word of the Lord, the Philistines came up to rape the land of its harvest. And so when they came to this place, the men of Israel, not having any weaponry, fled and ran for their lives. As they did, though, there were three mighty men along with David who just happened to arrive at that time. And so while everybody else ran, the Bible says that David and these three mighty men arose up and stood to defy the Philistines. And as you read this in the two passages which share the story in the scriptures, you find that the, the story focuses not on David and not on the other two mighty men, but on a man named Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. And it tells us especially what he did as one of the mightiest men that David had in his kingdom. And so Eleazar goes down in scriptural record as what God lists in his word as a mighty man. And I want to preach to you about marks of the mighty, because every child of God, I pray, should be your desire. I don't want to be a weak child of God. I want to be a strong child of God. I don't want to be carnal and worldly, but I want to be full of the Holy Ghost, and I want to have the power of the Spirit in my life. I want to be mighty for God. I want to tear down the things of hell. I want to have revival. And so the Bible says about Eleazar, first of all, that when the men of Israel fled, I mean they ran for their lives, it says about him, he arose. So that tells me the first mark of the mighty. And that was, he took personal responsibility for the circumstance and the situation. He could have ran as well, like everybody else. They were outnumbered greatly, but he chose to fight. It's as if he had to say to himself, I don't care what anybody else is doing here today, but I have made up my mind. I might die here today, but I'm not running for the hills. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to pull out my sword. And if I'm the only one who stands, then so be it. And so it was that he did arise and he did fight against the enemy. And so the first mark of the mighty is they know how to take responsibility personally. They don't blame it on everybody else. They don't say, well, if everybody else will do it, I'll do it. They make up their mind. If nobody does it, that's okay. I'm still going to do it. And so let me kind of show you what I'm talking about. I evangelized for about 7.5 years in the United States in my earlier ministry, and I saw a lot of churches and I saw a lot of things in those churches, and I saw various types of people. And so if I suggest something to you tonight, please understand, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just sharing some observations of things that I was able to observe. I've seen people like the man I'm going to preach about right now. And I'm just going to call this man Lazy Larry. And this is how Lazy Larry comes to church. First of all, he's late. Second of all, when he steps out of his car and he comes through the front door, he sees a piece of paper in the foyer, and he says to himself, man, the cleanup crew sure did a bad job for the service tonight. He walks right by the piece of paper. He goes into the house of God. He looks around, and he sees that maybe Sister Susie or Brother Joe, I mean the real worship leaders in the congregation, the ones who always shout, who always praise God, he looks and sees that they're not there. They must be sick. And so he says to himself, my word, we're going to have a dead one tonight. And he just folds his arms and expects there to be no move of God. Then when the preacher gets up to preach, he never says amen. He never says hallelujah. He never says, that's right, pastor, preach it. No, he thinks if he opens his mouth, somebody's going to pull a tooth or something. So he just clamps down. Then at the end, when the altar call is given and a poor backslider or unsaved person walks to the front, he looks around and says, why isn't anybody praying for him? Man, that person needs God. That's the guy that I call Lazy Larry. But now, let me talk to you about another guy. I'm going to call him Righteous Richard. And Righteous Richard comes to church. He's on time. He's there to pray. And when he gets there and he sees a piece of paper in the hall on his way into the sanctuary, he doesn't say anything about the cleanup crew. He says, "My Lord, this is my church." And he reaches down and picks up the paper. You may not think I'm preaching, but I'm preaching right now. We need to be men and women who take responsibility for what God is doing in our midst. And so he picks up the paper. He throws away. He don't expect anybody to give him an accolade for that. He's just happy to help. He gets into the service and he sees, yeah, Sister Susie's not here. Brother Joe's not here. But that's all right because I don't need them to worship God. I'm a one-man worship team all by myself. I can praise him. I can lift my hands. I can dance. I can shout. I can have revival all by myself. And then when the preacher preaches, man, he's right there backing him up. And then when altar service begins and he sees some lost soul walk to the front, he's the first one down there and saying, God, save them. God, fill them. Praying with them. What I'm trying to tell you is mighty spiritual people are the ones who don't sit back and wait for everybody else to do something, but they step out and say, this is my church. This is my God. This is my revival. This is my place, and I'm going to do my part for God. Let me tell you about a man in our church, and I don't know how it is for you folks here in Kansas, but I know how it is down in Mississippi. We have to fight for every soul we get. I mean, I just wish they'd come in by the droves without having to do anything. But that's usually not how it works anywhere. But I remember years ago, this guy started coming to church and God touched him. And man, he was with us for about a year or so. And then I didn't see him. And didn't see him for several years. And I guess he was having some real issues. And so years passed. And the first service of the new year, this is a number of years ago, I saw him sitting on the back row with his wife. His wife had never come with him before. And so after service, he came up to the altar and he asked me at church, he said, after church, he said, Pastor, can I talk to you? So I said, sure. So we went over to the side and I said, how can I help? And he said something every pastor likes to hear. He said, Brother Johnson, can I come back to church? Man, every pastor likes to hear that. Can I come back to church? And I said, well, sure. He said, I said, why? Why? He said, you know, I'm so sorry about what happened. He said, you know, I really didn't get over some things that I was dealing with in the world. It got the best of me. But he said, man, I want to get in there and live for God, something like this. And if you'll let me come back to church, I want to come back. I said, well, you come on back and you don't worry about all that past stuff. Come on. And do you know, that was years ago. That guy surprised the fire out of me. I mean, the guy showed up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, or midweek service. I mean, and over time, he became one of the best men in the church. And so, it wasn't but a year or two after he came back, I was passing by the church. Our church is on Highway 61 in Natchez, and it's right there on the highway. Because of that, there's two lanes going north, two south. People become litter bugs. I don't know. I've never understood that. But because of that, papers and cans and stuff come off the highway and get into the churchyard. And so every so often we have to go pick those up or what have you. And so I was driving by the church to go to Jackson or somewhere and saw a man in the churchyard. I saw this guy. I thought, what is that guy doing in our churchyard? You know, I was going pretty fast down the highway. I happened to glance, and then I realized he had a bag in his hand, and he was picking up trash. And I took a double take, and it was old Brother Jimmy, the guy I'm talking about. Now listen, I didn't call him and ask him to do that. We didn't have a men's day. He just drove by the church and realized, hey, this is my church. God's been mighty good to me. I want people to know this church is not a trashy church. This is a good church. And that man still does, he'll come by the church, find something that needs to be done without the pastor asking him, without there being a men's day or anything. It's just something that he has developed. But now let me tell you the rest of the story. After all this started happening, I started seeing him really becoming a good man in the church. One Sunday morning, we had a good move of God there at the front at the altar service. And so he was standing off to the right, and a preacher spoke to him at that service and said that he felt God was fixing to bless him, bless that man, told him that. And so about 2 weeks later, this man, Brother Jimmy from our church, calls me. He's all excited. He said, do you remember that day? And he talked about how he felt like God promised that he was going to bless him. And I said, yeah, I remember when that happened. He said, well, I got a call. He lives downtown in one of these old mansion homes in Natchez, in the historic district. And he said, I got a call from a relative. And he said, I want to pay your mortgage off. Well, he said, that's one thing for him to say it. He said, but I just went by the bank. And he said, that relative kept his word. He said, Brother Johnson, my entire mortgage has been resolved. It's everything is absolutely paid for. And he said, God did bless me. Listen, you want to be blessed? Be an Eliezer. Be somebody who said, when everybody else goes the other direction, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And so he arose. He arose. Eliezer arose and he waded into the battle. But as he did so, it shows us the second mark of the mighty. Because the Bible says, and I read it to you in that second text, that where they were fighting was in a place called Pasdammim. If you study that, you'll find it's the same as Ephesdammim, which is the exact spot where David fought Goliath. And when he fought Goliath, he fought him all by himself. And when you read that, you get the picture here. David was there and his three mighty men. And it's as if Eliezer made up his mind. David, the last time you fought here, you fought all by yourself. But this time, you're not fighting by yourself. I'm pulling out my sword, and I'm standing with you. You are the man for the hour. You're the man of God, and I'm going to pick up my sword, and I'm going to fight right by your side. So what I want you to understand is the second mark of the mighty is that of loyalty. Loyalty. That is anybody can be disloyal. Anybody can be a turncoat. But I'm going to tell you, a mighty man, a mighty woman is the one that stands flat-footed and says, I'm going to be loyal to God. I'm going to be loyal to the kingdom of God. I'm going to be loyal to the man of God in my life. I'm going to be loyal. Let me tell you how far this loyalty extended. The Bible said when the battle was over, that the men of Israel returned only to spoil. Do you know what that means? That means all the guys who had run come back and start taking the gold and the silver out of the pockets of the Philistines. Man, if that had been me, maybe you, would have said, get off of my stuff. Man, I fought for that. You ran for the hills. Get out of here. But this guy understood. These guys had planted it. They had worked at it. And he said, he didn't say anything. He let them come back and get as much as they wanted. You know why? He had a revelation. These are not just anybody. These are the people of God. These are my people. These are fellow Israelites. And you know, we got to get that revelation. It's not just us and our family. It's everybody in the church. We're in this together. It's not us foreign no more. It's we're all in the kingdom together. And it reminds me sometimes of, old Noah. Now, this is just speculation, okay? But knowing human beings and human nature like I do, it's probably right. But we know this. Noah was the head of the human family at that time. He had three sons. There was three levels on the ark. There was all kinds of animals. You don't have to wonder what they did. They had to go feed the animals, and they had to clean out stalls. Bottom line. There was only one window in the ark. So, I don't know any family that doesn't have squabbles every now and then. And can you imagine some of those boys? How come I always get the elephants? How come I always get the big bulls? You get to clean out the rabbit cages. You know, I don't know if that happened or not, but it very well could have. But I can almost imagine Noah getting tired of the bickering, saying, boys, come with me. Takes them up, has them look out the window, and they see all the dead bodies of the people who drowned in the flood floating, all the stench. And he reminds them, your worst day on the ark is better than your best day outside of it. And I'm sure those boys said, Daddy Noah, you don't ever have to tell us again to quit fighting. We're going to be okay. My point being this, you know what? We're on the old ship of Zion. We're headed somewhere. We may have our differences here and there. We may have a bad day here and there. But here's the thing. We're headed somewhere, and we're saved from the world of sin, and we're going to a place called glory. So let's bind together, let's work together, and let's be loyal to one another. So he was loyal to Eliezer was loyal to his king, he was loyal to his country, and most of all, he was loyal to God. Sure. Because if he wasn't, he would have turned around and ran. But being a man who understood, I'm a child of Abraham, and this land doesn't belong to the Philistines, it belongs to me because God said so. He pulled out his sword and he fought. So, if you're going to be a mighty man for God, a mighty woman for God, develop some loyalty. Be loyal to your man of God. I mean, there ought to be nobody who preaches like your man of God. I mean, we have a lot of preachers that preach, but there should be nobody that you love any more than the man of God that God has put in your life. And love all the people of God, but especially the folks you go to church with, that you fight the battles of life with, and be loyal to your church. I'll never forget. We had a bad, I mean, years and years and years ago. I've been pastoring where I pastor in Natchez over 20 years. But many, many years ago, we had a very bad situation in our church. I won't even go into it. It was ugly. It's a situation most churches never face in their entire life. It was bad. And so it got so bad, it got to lawsuit state. And it was bad. But I remember one of our trustees, we had a few that kind of flaked out. But there was one guy who was solid as a rock. And I'll never forget the day that I got the call. He stood by his pastor. He stood by his church. And I'll never forget the day I got the call from the attorney for our church. And he said, these people have dropped the lawsuit. They're done. They're through. They realized what a mistake they'd made or whatever. So the day that the lawsuit ended, we had church. And this brother from our church, Brother Darrell's his name, he comes to church, and at service that night, his oldest daughter showed up. She had been backslidden for years and years and years. She showed up. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She got baptized. And he left that place rejoicing with the blessing of God. But there were some other guys, they didn't get that night. In fact, the blessing of God lifted off of their life. But I'm going to tell you, when you're mighty for God and you just stand loyal to God, you can mark it down. He's going to bless you. He's going to find a way to show, hey, I like that. That's a mighty man. That's a mighty woman for God.
Amen.
And the last thing that I'll mention about the marks of the mighty is this. When you read this story, it says that when the Philistines came to fight against the enemy, and they came to destroy the crops of the people of God, that the men of Israel fled, but that Eleazar and the other two mighty men and David defied them, and Eleazar arose and he began to fight. This is what it says. He fought until his hand was weary. And his hand clave unto the sword. What that means is he fought so hard and so long that he fought until he couldn't fight anymore. And even when he was done fighting, he still couldn't let go of the sword. In fact, his fingers were paralyzed around it. When the battle was over, they had to pull his fingers off of the sword. And my point in telling you that is this. If that would have been written about some folks I know, this is what it would read. And he fought until his 10 o'clock coffee break. He said, bless God, I got to get my coffee. Or he fought until 5 o'clock quitting time. And then he said, it's up to you boys, and ran. But it doesn't say that. It says he fought until his hand was weary, indicating he fought until he couldn't fight no more. And even when he was done fighting, the sword in his hand could not be taken out because he'd gotten such a tight grip on it. So that tells me the third mark of the mighty, and that is when they do something, they do it with all their heart. You know why some folks never get blessed? They're half-hearted. They worship half-hearted. They give half-hearted. They sing half-hearted. They work half-hearted. But I'm going to tell you, the way to getting blessed is put everything you can into it. Hey, you only live once. And Solomon said that whatever we do, we ought to do it with our might. Because we're going to the grave. We shouldn't die premature. We should live every day until we die. And we ought to give it our best. And so, something good happens when people put everything they've got into what they do. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can tell it when you go get a bite to eat. You can see a waitress who's got her heart into it, and you can see some that don't could care less if you like them or not, and if they get a tip or not. You can see it at a public job. You can see it at church. You can see it anywhere. I'm going to tell you, the good news is when you put your whole heart into it, you can expect good things to happen in your life. I remember a man that prayed through. He was quite a druggie. In fact, the cops were even happy when he got saved. And he lived for God, but he became an air conditioning man, and just fantastic, had a great business. And this guy he was hyper. I don't know if it was because of all the drugs he had put in his system from years gone by, but he was hyper, man. If he came to church, he sang. He couldn't stay still. He was just always doing stuff. If something needed to be done at the church, he was the first one. He lived about a mile from the church. He's the first one there working on it. If he heard something happen, no one had to ask him. But whatever he did it with his whole heart. And I remember one Sunday, he wasn't at church. One Sunday morning, I thought, man, I missed him, I thought. And you know, sometimes as a pastor, you think, did I miss him or were they there? And so that Sunday night, I saw him and I stopped him after church. And I said, Brother Lynn, I said, were you here this morning? And he kind of hung his head. He said, no, sir. He said, that woman of mine, she was in church too. He said, that woman of mine, boy, she knows how to push my buttons, Brother Johnson. He said, I'm telling you, I got so mad at her. He said, I just didn't come to church. But he said, I made up my mind. She ain't stopping me from church. I'm coming. So I'm here tonight. We put it behind us and I'm here tonight. And you know what? We were in revival. He came that next night. And I'm telling you, we had church. And we had a little prayer line after service. He came through that. Man, he staggered. He shouted. He got drunk in the spirit. And Tuesday, I got a call. He was grabbing an air conditioning unit in a house he was working on. And some other construction worker had flipped the power on when he was doing that, and he couldn't let go of it, and he got electrocuted, and he died. But I thought to myself, thank God. That man said, ain't nobody getting my victory, even if it is my wife. Praise God. And he made up his mind, when I go to church, I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. I'm going to worship God. I'm not mad at God and the Lord. I'm not mad at anybody. I just want to be saved. I don't know if you ever heard Brother Strievel tell this, but Brother Strievel had this little statement he made to his church. He said, you know, when somebody does something good, we clap. You know, or somebody gets a promotion or somebody sings good, we might clap. You know, in the world, we clap. He said it's a form of telling people we liked what they did. But he said, if we're not careful, we'll do that same kind of clapping for Jesus. And he said, I made up my mind, and I told our church, he said, if I clap for people, that's one thing. But if I'm clapping for the Lord, he said, I tell our church, if we're clapping for Jesus, let's put a little sting in it. I mean, let's make our hands sting a little bit. Hey, we ought to make our hands sting a little bit for Jesus. We ought to be like Eleazar and get out there and say, I'm going to give it all I have, and I'm going to see God's blessing. I'm going to give it everything I've got. Now, I'm gonna close, but I don't want to offend anybody tonight, okay? I promise. So let me just explain something as I close. I don't want to be offensive. You're good folks. Plus, in the history of Kansas, there's independent people who like to carry guns and such from Kansas, okay? I don't want any of that. So here's the deal. As I close, and we have our altar service, I don't want anybody to come that doesn't want to come, okay? I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but let me just preach this the way I feel, all right? When Eleazar arose, when the Philistines came, and he made up his mind, I'm not going anywhere. If I die today, I die today. And he began to fight as the children of Israel ran. And he pulled his sword and he fought with all that he had. And the focus of the story leaves David and the other mighty men. And the word of God focuses on him. He becomes, as it were, a one-man army machine for God. And his sword is like a helicopter going through the troops, mowing them down by the droves until finally he becomes so weary and he falls down. He cannot lift his sword up again. Now, I don't know exactly how it happened. I'm just going to use my imagination. But I do know that it did happen because it's in the Bible. It doesn't say Eleazar wrought a great victory. It says God wrought a great victory that day. Only after Eleazar gave it everything he had. So I can imagine that it probably unfolded like this. He's out there fighting with all he has. He's beginning to lose energy. And finally, as he falls out and he's lost all of his strength and he can't lift his sword one more time, a fresh troop comes over the hillside. The angels of God perhaps may have said, God, look what's happening. Are you going to allow that? It could have been that God may have turned to his angels and said, I'm not sending you this time. I'm going to take care of this myself. And I can almost imagine God he doesn't have human legs like us, except when he was manifested. But I can almost imagine him coming off the parapet of glory and landing there in that barley field. And as those new troops come over to destroy Eleazar, an invisible sword from glory comes down and mows them and all the rest of the enemy down. And Israel rejoices in a glorious and a wonderful victory. And the Lord did it. But listen, he didn't do it for the cowards who ran. He did it for the mighty man who stood. And so, if you are in this house and you'd like God to do something in your life, and you like God to give you a victory in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, in your home. If you're not saved, you'd like to get saved. You'd like to repent and be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. You'd like to pray through. You like the victory. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can get it if you'll get your mind made up. I'm going to that front, and I'm going with all my heart, and I'm going to seek God with all I have. And so, and this is why I'm asking you not to be offended. Just as Eleazar didn't slam the cowards, he shared his spoils with them. We're not here to down anybody that doesn't have the might they need, the strength they need. But I'm here to say, if you're like Eleazar and you want all the blessing of God and his victory to come on your life and you're willing to step out and you're willing to say, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to fight until I can't fight no more. I'm going to give it all I have. Then guess what? You've got a mighty victory awaiting you. And so, would you stand with me? Let me just ask you a question. Could you stand a victory? Could you stand the blessing of God coming on your life? Could you stand God washing you, renewing you, filling you, empowering you? I want to just say simply this. If you don't feel like coming, I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to load guilt on you. But I am here to save the Eleazars who want God to step out of glory, who want the victory to come. I'm asking you to get out of that pew area and come to the as close to the front as you can and close your. I know there's different needs here. I know there's different desires here. I know there's different things that are needed. But would you be willing to say, God, we want revival. We want it greatly in our church. We want it in our city. And we want great things to happen in our lives. And we're willing to do our part. If you feel that way, just come out right now. Just get as close to this front as you can. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? Would you begin to reach for God? God wants to give somebody strength. God wants to give somebody power. God wants to give somebody a fresh anointing. Where are you, Eleazar? I'll step out. I'll fight the enemy. I'll do it with everything I got. I'll get a hold of the sword of the Lord. I'll give it my best. Oh, the marks of the mighty are blessed with the blessing of God, with the outpouring of God, with the victory of the Spirit. Hallelujah.